Welcome to episode 3 of the only League of Legends podcast that's seen your bare tibbers. This is Low Elo. I'm your host, Jeff Wyckoff, a.k.a. Eat Crayons, and with me today, I have David, a.k.a. Compy386, who is selfishly jungling Garen.
That's right, all the kills are mine.
And returning guest, Christian, all your base 123, now taking basic attack damage, just like the rest of us. Say hello, Christian.
Basic attack, it hurts.
So with that, Jax has had a fairly major overhaul. As we all know, Dodge has been removed from the game at this point, and a few champions had to be completely redone. Among them, the major changes went to Jax. So what are your opinions on Jax at this point, guys? Because I know what mine is.
Well, all right. So I tried Jax out, tried him out as a jungler, and what I can say is he's going to be one of those level 2 gankers. Because like you can start out with his E, and once he's done with his blue or red, wherever he is, he'll have his Q ready, and then he'll be basically a free stun for whatever lane he goes into.
What about durability issues? Does the missing dodge really factor in that much for him at this point?
Well, that's where you really have to time your dodge ability well, because you only have 1.5 seconds to dodge all normal attacks, just normal attacks, no magic or anything like that. And then right after that, you go quick stun, but right after that, you're just completely vulnerable.
Yeah, I can't wait for all the Jaxes. And we've seen this in our last game with Christian. You were Jax, and you dove into an enemy team that had 4 players, and you were all alone, and then you died.
Yes, unfortunately, Jax does not have the capability of 1v4ing the entire enemy team.
So I'm extremely happy about the Jax change, because he might be a normal champion now.
I actually feel like the changes to dodge were, at this point, now seeing how Jax has been changed, I feel like they were more about balancing Jax than they were about balancing a bad mechanic.
Well, it feels like that. I played Jax for the longest time just because I don't know, kind of a guilty pleasure, because I knew that like all I could do just to win is run into a creep wave, take a few hits, and wait for my dodge to proc. But now that I actually have to, you know, time it correctly...
Yeah,
I'll admit that.
welcome to being a skill player, just like the rest of us.
It's so much different than from, you know, old Jax.
So guys, when you guys are playing and there's a Jax on your team who does something like jumps into a 4v1, just laugh when they die instantly. Just have a smile on your face. Don't call them names.
That's basically what
like,
we
oh
did.
My god, you knew. Just be like, can't do that anymore, can you?
What about the changes with Ninja Tabby? The patch says, I haven't gotten to play with it at all yet, but the new Ninja Tabby, the dodge is obviously gone, but damage taken from non-turret basic attacks is reduced by 10%. To me, that sounds like Ninja Tabby is no longer...
Well, when's the last time you played Dominion, Jeff?
It's been a while. It has been a while.
Yeah, yeah. So if everyone on Dominion still goes the tanky DPS auto attackers, then Ninja Tabby might be an option. But no, in the real game, in Summoner's Rift, I don't think it's worth it.
I think it might be like semi-viable for all the people going top lane, you know, all the bruises going up there. Because you see every game that I've been in, it seems like you got to have your bruisers up at top. And when, you know, if you're going up against that, Ninja Tabby seems like a really viable option.
It's, I don't know. Ninja Tabby seems like it's lost its allure. It's always been a niche item just because of the dodge that it gives you. And people don't like relying on the random number generator. That's why they got rid of dodge. But and this is very flat, and I just don't know how good it is. But like I was saying, let's get away from the patch notes for just a moment.
Yeah.
Because we've got a ton of them. Let's talk a little bit about the next ESL event, which is about to kick off in 2 days. That's IEM Kiev. We've got 8 teams going head-to-head here for Kiev, and we've been talking a little bit about it in the last couple of episodes. But this is going to be a big event. And there's been a lot of drama leading up to this one. Just to summarize for you both, we've got 2 groups starting off. Our teams in Group A are SK, White Lotus from the Ukraine, TSM, and Curse. Group B, we've got AAA, Moscow 5 coming on in from Russia, Cypher and Team Dignitas. We've got three USA teams in there. This is going to be a big one, guys. What do you think? You guys have any picks at this point?
Well, my pick is going to Dignitas, and here's why. They won the last tournament, right? They won CLG's little tournament that, well, not little. I mean, geez, 64 teams. It was a big tournament, but, you know, it wasn't televised like these are going to be. Dignitas, they took I Will Dominate as their new jungler from Complexity, from Team Complexity. And he is, I just think he's going to work well with Voyboy. I think Dignitas has the momentum to come in. I think their Group B is a little bit softer. I think SK, TSM, and Curse are going to really have to fight it out to get out of Group A. But I don't know. They're the only American team in Group B, so maybe the Europeans will dominate them.
Yeah, there's a definite possibility there. Against all authority, AAA, they tend to run a pretty strong team, but I think their biggest competition in Group B for Team Dignitas is, honestly, Moscow 5, M5. These guys have been doing a lot of scrims with Team Solo Mid, and I think this is going to be, they're going to be the team to beat for Team Dignitas if they want to make it out of Group B.
Well, against all authority, they're just like Team Yellow Star. I mean, honestly, I mean, Yellow Star is an amazing AD carry. We all remember him from the Season 1 tournament where he was a great Ashe. He's a great, great AD carry. But I think if you look at the other players, I think Dignitas has a stronger lineup. And I think you're right that Moscow 5 is going to, I think for Group B, it'll be Moscow 5 and Dignitas. Group A, I think it will be TSM. And I don't know, I think Curse and SK is a toss-up.
Really? See, I'm going to, on this one, and I've got a little bit of a leg up here because there's some fresh news as of the recording of this podcast. Group A, I'm going to pick SK versus TSM as our big match. The reason that I'm going to bring Curse out of that is because they just hit a major setback. Now, not only was Curse kind of a shoe-in for this one, they didn't originally make the cut. They got there because Goose dropped out, and there were issues there for a picture of a Goose. And I'm not saying they're not good enough to be there. I'm just saying that there are other teams that are going to be ahead of them. But that's not the big issue here. The big issue is that their AP carry, NY Jackie, he's still in Shanghai right now. What happened there?
He's a long way from the Ukraine. Not,
yeah, he's a long way from the Ukraine, and he's a long way from home. What my understanding of the situation is that traveling outside of the U.S., you need to present a passport. But traveling outside of the U.S. between other countries, there's other rules you have to follow, and one of them for getting out of Shanghai and getting into the Ukraine is a visa. Well, he didn't have a visa. So he is stuck. I was reading a couple of hours ago, the team, Curse, they were getting on the plane and posting frantically to message boards and to Reddit from their cell phones, trying to figure out what they could do. And here's the major call that went out. They said, there's no way at this point, given the time frame, that Jackie's going to be able to get there for the tournament. So they're asking for a sub. Mm. They're trying to find a ringer at this point to fill in their AP carry role.
Mm.
And this is not the time that you want to be making changes to your team lineup for a big LAN tournament.
Well, then you're right. I think Curse, plus they're going to be thinking, oh, we weren't really supposed to be here anyway. It's all last minute.
It's a little last minute, although I think that would work for them. The other guys on Curse, you know, Cops, Jaximus, Liquid 112, I think they're going to have a good attitude about that. I think that they see themselves as totally deserving of being in the seat, and they are. And they're a team that has some good experience with the LANs. But I think, you know, SK and TSM, that's really where it's going to be. TSM, they've struggled just a little bit in the past. You know, they're classically an internet team. You know, they're broken up a little bit all over the place. But I think that they've really come through, and they've come through on their practice for LAN. It's a totally different environment. You know, you watch these guys on the stream all the time, and they can sit back, listen to music, be calm, you know, rage all that they want. You get them into a LAN, and it's a completely different environment. It's loud. You can't hear anybody. You're using somebody else's equipment most of the time. You know, you're not in the chair that you like to be in. All the pressure's on, and it's going to be a moment where they have to perform. I think that out of the entire group, they've got the best players. They've got Reginald. They've got the odd one. I mean, those guys, you know, for me, those they're superstars. The only one that can ever bring them down is the Rain Man, and the only reason I don't like him is because he rages so much.
Okay, so we think SK, TSM will fight, and then Moscow 5 and Dignitas. Who do you see in the final?
I think, you know what, I think that the final games is going to be played between, or I think the game to win it is going to be played between TSM and Team Dignitas. I really think it's going to be an all-USA final.
All right, well, I hope you're right.
I will say, I know Reginald, he's on record saying that regardless of what happens, yeah, they want to win, but the one thing they want to happen is they want to beat the pants off of Moscow 5. That's the big goal for Reginald walking into this tournament, because I guess the Russians have been mouthing off a little bit.
Like you said, they've been scrimming on their streams for the past few weeks.
Yeah, and you know, it's hard to tell what's going on there, because if you've ever been in competitive esports, and I've spent a fair amount of time actually competing in esports back in the heyday of Counter-Strike and the
You're
like,
old.
If you scrim against somebody who you're actually going to be playing in tournament play later on, you kind of mess around. Like, you troll them just a little bit. You know, just enough to make them wonder if you're taking it seriously or not, but you don't want to show your hand. You know, you don't want them to see exactly what you're capable of. You don't want them to be banning your best people.
Yeah, just like you don't want Bill Belichick with his camera up there filming your practice.
Right, and the thing is that the NFL sanctions don't exist in ESL at this point to keep you from doing that. These teams scout each other constantly. But even knowing all that, I think it's going to be between Team Dignitas and TSM. I've got to give it to Dignitas. I think you're spot on. Dignitas is going to be the one that takes this one.
So,
but we'll see. We'll see. Those matches, they're going to start this Thursday at 6 a.m. Eastern.
6 a.m. Eastern. So
welcome to European time, guys.
If you're in California, what's 5? What was that? 3 a.m.
2 a.m. actually.
2 a.m. Okay, 2
hour difference. Yeah, that'll be a blast. But and that's how the whole thing is going to go. If you want to watch this in the United States, you better be staying up later, getting up early, because we're talking Thursday the 19th. Coverage starts at 6 a.m. Eastern time. Friday the 20th, 6 a.m. Saturday, 9 a.m. You get a little bit of a break on Saturday, but then we just get straight back on Sunday, 5 a.m. It's going to be an all-morning tournament. But the nice thing is with ESL, they're going to have all of the replays and everything available for you, so at least we'll get some coverage there. And I know that we all wish a great deal of luck to all the teams that will be attending.
Go Dignitas.
Go Dignitas. So let's get into these patch notes. They're extensive. Mm-hmm. Let's start off with the big one. We got a brand new champion. It's Sejuani, the Winter's Wrath.
The Winter's Wrath.
Right. Yep. Now, you've played her a few times already. We've seen the art and we've seen the champion spotlight. What do you guys think?
Everything is slow. I don't know whether she should be played as a jungler or as a solo top. Solo top, I don't think she has the sustain. But one thing I was playing with was kind of playing her like a Singed / Mordekaiser, maybe getting a little AP, maxing her W first. Her W is, it's like Twitch's debilitating poison. I can't remember the name of the ability, but it provides extra slow and it does damage, and it's on a pretty short cooldown. It's like an 8-second cooldown. So in the lane, if you can like charge up to him, hit him once, pop that and then get out without taking too much damage, I think you can dominate a top lane. But against someone like Nasus or all the people we talked about last time, I don't know how she'll stand up against those.
Yeah, yeah. To get the rundown, her passive is Frost. That makes it so that all of her basic attacks apply the Frost debuff, which is a 10% move speed debuff for 3 seconds. Unlike Twitch, it's not like it's going to stack on you. You get it once and it stays there for the duration. Her Q, Arctic Assault, that's a charge for her, right? Mm-hmm.
It's like Fizz Charge.
Now, I've seen this one a couple times. I had to play against it. I think this is the ability that's really going to define her, because not only is it just like a Fizz Charge, but this thing, I think it's got a little bit better of a range for going through stuff.
Yeah, it goes through stuff except for champions. So you'll go through all the minions, and the first champion you hit, it'll stop.
Yeah, but no, more importantly, you'll go through walls.
Oh, yeah, going through walls. Mm-hmm.
You can go through walls, go through trees, jump over gaps with it, which is a big deal. And the range on the Fizz one is pretty low. I think this one's got a pretty good range to it, but it does scale in mana cost, unlike everything else she's got, which stays flat. So her W, that's the one you're talking about. It consumes the slow, right?
No, her W. Oh, did I say W? It should be her E. Her W is the anti Shyvana. It's swirling cold this time instead of swirling. It does damage based on your AP and your max health. So maybe that's why I'm thinking.
What's this max health thing we've got going on? It's like we've got Volibear with the max health, and
yeah,
they're just encouraging people to purchase a Warmogs.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, Warmogs. Yeah. Yeah, so playing her as a tanky, singed / Mordekaiser type AP tanky, AP lots of health, I think that's the way she'll play out.
Okay, okay. And her Glacial Prison, I think this is actually a really big deal, because it's hard CC.
Oh, multiple targets too. Oh.
Yeah, it's multiple target hard CC.
Mm, it's so
that's
good.
That's really good.
It's so good. Yeah.
So the direct post for it, or the direct tooltip reads, and it's 100 mana flat. It never goes up. It's Sejuani throws her weapon, stunning the first enemy champion hit. Nearby enemies are stunned for a shorter duration. All targets take magic damage and are affected by frost.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that you can use your ult, and then you can pop permafrost, which is her E. And that converts all of the frost to permafrost, which deals damage and reduces their run speed by a whole lot more.
That's her big slow. Like, everything she does slows, but her permafrost, I mean, it's like an extra 40%.
Yeah. And she is melee. I mean, that's kind of the saving grace for her, is that she's melee. She's got to get in there. So Ashe is still valid.
Yeah, and one thing I like about her is she's encouraging smart play. If you don't use your abilities in the right order, if you don't see the opportunity to use your abilities, then you're going to fail as Sejuani. But that being said, she's your kind of juggler, Jeff, where she creates those opportunities for her laners, as opposed to taking advantage of opportunity like a Yi or something.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'd much rather define the flow of those ganks than have to react to them. I think that's the key to good jungle champion, is they create opportunities that the rest of the people can capitalize on. I think that given the last few champions that we've had that we've gotten, you know, from Volibear up, I think she's probably the one that feels so far the most balanced right out of the gate.
Well, that remains to be seen. You've played against her a couple times, Christian. You have any words on Sejuani?
I can't really say much, because every game I went against her, the rest of her team already killed me before I could get ulted by her.
Because you were playing Jax. Because
I was playing Jax, the new Jax, and I really couldn't do...
That's the problem, man. The champ has shown up, and they took away his lamppost. He's, you know, he's fair game for everyone at this point.
No, I'm fighting with a cardboard tube, all right?
Oh, yeah, you've got the skin.
I got the packs, Jax, yeah.
I think everyone's going to want to take their pot shots at Jax at this point, yep. And there's nothing you can do to stop it.
I feel the last three games I played, they really are taken their, like, they really getting some benching shots on me now, like, this entire time. When he couldn't really auto attack Jax because of his passive dodge, because it felt like it almost felt like being invincible, really, because I mean, you dodge so well. But now like I don't have dodge, and I don't have my passive, which gives me bulk. I'm just
you're just a normal champion now.
Yeah, well, you are immortal. The new meta for Jax players. I think it's to just play Pantheon. I mean, that shield passive that you get on Pantheon, let's face it, that's the closest thing you're going to get to the old Jax. And you still get to jump on people and stun them. It's basically the same champion, right?
With Pantheon, you have one ability where you can jump on someone and stun them, whereas Jax, you have to use two abilities and time them well.
Yeah, the new Jax meta. Play Pantheon, guys.
I mean, the Jax stun is AoE, but you're not going to be going into five people anymore.
And yep.
And I think if I keep provoking you, we're going to end up on the Jax subject forever. But the real improvements in this patch come from just a whole host of fixes, quality of life improvements, and when I say quality of life improvements, I mean that, you know, they nerfed Riven, and just all across the board, they've got nerfs and buffs on. Gosh, it feels
well,
like 20
well, first of
champions.
All, let's talk about the ones we called it. Fizz, we called it.
Yeah, he's there. He's getting some massive buffs to his to his ultimate, and these aren't really buffs. They're more like fixes. But let's face it, if you're broken. And that broken piece hurts you. The moment they fix you, it's a buff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still questioning whether this is really going to make him viable in a competitive sense. But at least it'll make him more fun.
Yeah.
Now, if we want to talk about others that we called
Skarner. Yep.
We called it. The first episode we talked about Skarner's openess was huge, and they nerfed him.
Yeah. Didn't we kind of rage on him in the second episode as well?
Maybe
a little bit, just a little bit on the side, but yeah.
Yeah, Skarner OP was out of hand. Now, don't really need to worry about that OP-ness. The fact is they took Skarner, he had massive problems when he first came out with his mana costs. They had nerfed those down to a flat 15 on his Crystal Slash, which is, you know, his main damage dealer. Mm-hmm. And it was all 15 across. Now it's 20, 22, 24, 26, 28. So not only is it higher at level 1, but it's going to scale upwards as you level it up. Awesome change. I think that's going to bring his jungle a little bit more in line with where it's supposed to be, a little bit more realistic. It's going to make people, it's going to force them to acknowledge the mana problems that he has.
Yeah. Well, one thing I need to take into that is, every time I jungled as Skarner, I had my jungle runes that are set for Lee Sin, which had no mana regen, and I always somehow managed to survive in the jungle. Well, of course, I had Blue Buff on my side, but yeah, I'm gonna have to remake my jungle masteries if I want to continue jungling with Skarner now.
Yeah, the other side is they took that Crystal Slash, and his old values for the slow that it put onto people and around him was 25, 30, 35, 40, 45. They nerfed that by 5% across the board. So he's going to start at 20% and end at 40%. Once again, huge nerf.
Yep.
I mean, people are going to look at it, oh, it's only 5%. 5% is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really big deal. And that 5% is going to make a big difference for him. Here's the place where a lot of people are going to start noticing his impale, his ult.
Oh, yeah.
So no changes to the mana cost, no changes to, you know, how long it lasts or anything like that. No, the cooldown is now up to 2 minutes and 10 seconds at level 1, 2 minutes for level 2, and 1 minute and 50 seconds for level 3. That's a 20-second nerf across the board. I mean, you thought what they did with Ashe's alt arrow back at the end of fall was a big deal? sorry, guys, this is a big deal. 20 seconds on his ult. He's not going to be jumping out from any bushes at this point.
See, no, he's going to have to be putting his passive to use, because I feel like he's just going to be spending most of his time in jungle just trying to get his ult back up, because that's what most gunners do, right? Like, right after they use their ult, you know, they go somewhere else so they can lay off some auto attacks and reduce the cooldown. But now, I feel we're going to see a lot of Skarners, like, frantically going to wherever they can to get their ult ready.
Yeah. Well, and I think we're also going to see Skarners having to pick their opportunities far more cautiously than they have before. Because before, you could just blow it and know that if you had it maxed out, it's 90 seconds. You go auto-attack a few things, and you've got it down to 20 seconds. Not a big deal.
You'll have it right back up in no time. But now
you've got another 20 seconds to worry about. So we've called it for Skarner.
And the last one I want to talk about is Volibear. I called this because here's how Volibear games would go. Volibear would come out of the jungle, throw someone behind him. You as a laner would help, right? Hopefully, if you were paying attention. They would get down to low health. Volibear would bite them and get the kill.
Yep.
Now, as a jungler, that's bad, right? Your jungler, you're supposed to get your lanes fed. So what would happen is going into the mid game, Volibear would have four to six kills, and his lanes wouldn't have any. So in the mid game, Volibear is like this beast. The early team fights, he dominates. Then it gets to late game, and all the other carries have gotten a few kills from the other team. And so Volibear players are like, what the crap, guys? You know, I'm positive. I have all these kills. Why can't you do anything? So it was just, he was bad for a team. Now, Volibear's bite is not, they kind of nerfed that a little bit, but the big buff they gave him was his Q. He gives a 15% movement speed buff no matter what. Used to, if you were running away, it didn't give you anything.
Running towards an enemy?
No, any time at all, it's 15%, which is the buff. Before, if you were running away, it didn't increase your speed at all.
Right. Yeah.
Now it's still 45% increase when you're chasing champions, but it's now an escape.
Yeah. Now it's overall a good ability. Before it was it was bad.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. And okay, so that I think we will see Volibear solo top because of that buff, and he won't be stealing kills in the lane like he would be if he was jungling. He's got sustain with his passive. And now, because of the item, there is a great item for Volibear, and it's called Ionic Spark.
You know, there's a great item. There's a great item for everybody who does lots and lots of auto attacking and on hitting, I think, and that's Ionic Spark. I play Teemo, and I love Ionic Spark. I play Warwick, and I love Ionic Spark. I've played a little bit of Ezreal in the past. I'm really thinking that Ionic Spark is a good one for Ezreal.
Mm-hmm. Well, because, okay, so Volibear, solo top. I'm going to make that prediction now. For the Ionic Spark, two things is if you get it early game, it gives you a little attack speed and a little health, which is always great early game. And the damage that it does when it procs is very good. Now, combine that with Volibear's, you know, increasing attack speed, it's really good. Another thing is it gets you so many assists. This thing is ridiculous. Getting a team fight as anyone with an Ionic Spark, you're going to get assists. That's going to get you gold and experience. What did we end that game with, Jeff? I was Volibear. I had, 20-something assists, and you had 20-something as well?
You know, we ended that game with like 27 and 28 assists each, and still a respectable number of kills, like 7 and 8, to go along with it. And it just, it really did help to rake in the gold, because as Warwick, let's face it, if you're coming in as Warwick, that's who I was playing, you're a single champion killer. You know, you jump in there, you slash them a little bit while everyone else kills them. You get your one assist off of them, and then you look for somebody else to, you know, run at for a little while, maybe queue them a few times, chase down someone who's running, but you don't normally pull in quite as many assists. With this, I'm getting 5 assists out of every single team fight. It's incredible.
Yeah.
I think Ionic Spark is going to fill a very interesting role. It's 50% attack speed, 250 health, and every fourth basic attack, you do 110 magic damage to up to four targets within range. You build it out of a recurve bow and a health crystal, a ruby crystal. So it's pretty cheap. It's 2,300 gold to make the whole thing, which makes it competitive with one of my favorite items in the game, Wit's End.
Wit's End. Yep. I think it's going to be a toss-up now. Wits, do I get Wit's End as the defensive option, or do I get Ionic Spark as the offensive option?
Would you build these items, would you rush these items, or like build them on mid-game?
I would consider making them a second or third purchase. Usually the order that I'll go if I'm in the jungle is going to be, or really if I'm going to play any of my attack speed guys, is I'm going to go with my Mad Reds first, just the Razor, maybe convert it into a Wriggles. But then I'm going to upgrade boots, and then I'll go to an attack speed item, a recurve item. And for me, Wit's End has always been a huge choice. Like, that's the one that I shoot for. You get so much that's good out of it. What I really like about Ionic Spark here is the 250 health, because true damage is becoming such a nuisance in games these days. I mean, it's not a whole lot, but let's face it, if you're going to go up against Vayne in lane, or if you're going to go up against somebody who has an Ignite, you're going to want Ionic Spark over a Wit's End.
Mm-hmm.
That extra bulkiness just feels better, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's always going to come right down to it. I think that for me, it's always going to depend how much magic damage I have to deal with, because if there's going to be a lot of magic damage, you know what? A Wit's End is a great item, and it's still cheaper. Yeah. It's still slightly cheaper, but Ionic Spark's huge, and I don't think Riot has fully understood the effects that the lightning effect is going to have on the game, because, like you said, it racks in the assists.
Yeah, because like you said, Warwick, what does a typical Warwick do? He jumps on someone, your team kills them, and he either dies or runs away with low health. Yeah,
and then hopes to get back right in to cue somebody in the butthole. And that's yeah, what he does.
But now he's going to shock everyone on their team, because when Warwick jumps, everyone targets him, yeah, right? So they're going to come into range. He's going to shock everyone. And then if usually you win a team fight, if Warwick has, you know, picked a good target, then he's just going to get five assists every time.
He's going to be able to get all those assists, which is beautiful because he's going to be able to do it from a mile away. Ionic Spark is a big change. Where else can this play out? I know I like the idea of playing it on Teemo.
I think any champion that benefits from attack speed is going to benefit greatly from Ionic Spark.
A lot of junglers are going to benefit.
Oh yeah, Irelia. Like I said, lots of junglers have been going, like we were talking about a couple weeks ago, the Wriggles plus Wit's mm-hmm. End. I think now, instead of the Wit's End, they're just going to get Wriggles and then Ionic Spark. They're going to get that little attack speed, a little health, and they're going to shock everyone.
No, I completely agree. I think this is actually going to be a little problematic in the long run for Riot. I think that there's going to be some balance issues here. I could be wrong, but I think that this is going to become kind of a must-have item.
Well, because what's the typical thing? We make fun of, we have a player we play with who really likes attack speed. The thing about attack speed is when you get a lot of attack speed and that's all you're getting, you're very fragile.
Right.
Think of Sword of the Divine, which is what they removed for Ionic Spark. It didn't give you any health. It gave you attack speed.
Give you attack speed, armor penetration as well.
Armor pen and...
And you could...
activate.
Yeah, you could activate ability. It to kill Jax.
Yeah,
activate the kill. Yeah, pretty much.
That's what the tooltip should have said. Activate the kill.
Back in the old lore or tips and tricks, like when fighting against Jax, it said buy Sword Divine. Yeah.
Well, and this is why I really like it on Volibear, because his bite scales off his own health.
The attack speed super gives him fast.
Yeah, well, once the attack speed helps him ramp up a little bit to get that third attack in faster, which can mean the difference between good and bad.
And, like, not to mention this item just fits with him aesthetically. I mean, the synergy.
Yeah, and the synergy.
All those lightning bolts.
So many lightning bolts from your ultimates
and the ionic spark is just gonna be.
I really think that it's great that they've brought in this new item. It's gonna lead to a lot of experimentation, and it's gonna be a lot of fun, especially in the scrub normal games that we play.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a disruptive game for sure. You know, there's one other person that we need to give a little tip of the hat to, and that's Riven. They're nerfing her. But Riven's a super strong top. We talked about that briefly in our previous episodes. Do we know exactly what they did to us here with Riven?
Yes, they nerfed her health regeneration.
Thank God.
I know. And her key burst damage is reduced because they're saying we want this to be a stun, not a damage ability. So because everyone was leveling up key burst because it did so much damage, they nerfed it from 50 at level 1 to up to 170. It was 210, now it's 170. So it's the same at level 1, but it scales worse.
You're going to get some diminished returns as you level it up at this point, which is probably going to encourage a little bit more play on broken wings and all that, which is good.
They nerfed her speed a little bit. Mm-hmm. And the big one is the health regen, because with all those shields she could do, I mean, you couldn't get her out of lane.
Well, you couldn't get her out of lane, but also it was tough to finish her off because all she has to do is run for a little bit. Broken wings helps her do that, and she's going to start regenning. It was really tough. It was really tough to bring her down. So I'm glad we have some quality of life changes right there. I think it's overall going to be really good for the game.
Yep.
And
good
like
patch.
I said,
good
when
patch.
When I say quality of life, I mean quality of life for everybody else. But if you were playing Riven and didn't think she was overpowered, you might have to have a little bit of a heart-to-heart with yourself.
Yeah. Good patch all in all, although what I'm disappointed is that they did not remove Lee Sin from the game. And
right.
And until they do that...
It just seems kind of weird because all Lee Sin represents in a ranked game is some kind of strange bug where one of the teams only gets to ban two people. Like, that's the Lee Sin effect. Somebody has to ban Lee Sin.
Yep. Unless they have first pick and they want to play him.
Right. And even then, that just means the other team has to ban him.
Yeah.
And what a good champion, but he's like Superman. He's a balance issue.
Yep. I hope we get to see him in the tournament tomorrow or in a couple days. And
I think the US metagame is so ripe with Lee Sin. I can only imagine the only people who would let it happen would be a European team, and that's if they haven't been practicing and haven't been doing their research. It's a completely different world. But speaking of different worlds, I want you to sit back, close your eyes, and consider for a moment that the fate of the galaxy is in your hands. All right?
Okay.
Where is this going?
Well, what this is that aliens have invaded and you have to build a 5-man basketball team to defend against to defend the Earth.
Wasn't there a movie like this?
It was called Space Jam. It had some famous
Michael,
guy in it.
Michael Jordan, okay.
Bugs Bunny, actually.
Bugs Bunny, okay. And Michael
right.
Jordan. Best supporting actor. He won the Academy Award, right?
Something like that. He won some kind of award. But,
he should have.
You guys have to build a 5-man basketball team. Who's gonna defend the Earth for me, guys?
Okay, you have bans? Team Captain Lee Sin.
Yeah, no, I think we should do it where I can ban champions for Christian.
No. This can be totally OP. You're both on the you're coach and sub coach. You can fight over which one's gonna be which.
All right, let's see. Well, like I said, I choose Lee Sin because of his mobility. He can get across the court. He might not be able to score due to the whole blindness thing, unless he can, innovate the resonating strike into the play.
I would pick Brand, because that dude is tall.
Okay, my second choice, Xerath, because those long shots, 3-pointers, man. Your ball's in your court, Coffee.
Okay, so I've got Brand. Let's see.
I'm going to throw one out there. I would put Blitzcrank on my team.
steal the ball or steal the opponent.
Yeah, he's going to steal the ball every single time, long range. You know, maybe he's going to pull a couple of goaltending, you know, but whatever. We'll get around it. But, you know, think about it. You put him right there for the tip-off, he's going to win it every single time.
The one champion who knows how to handle her balls, Orianna.
She can't. Can she? So can she use the ball as in the game? Would she be able to use the ball and the real ball?
I was thinking about that. Like, she's dribbling the ball around anyone around her, slow them down, and then right after that, she just shoots it. Boom.
You know, I think the ultimate defense that you want to have on your team, it's Teemo.
Well, Teemo would be like the guy from Hoosiers that does the like bench warmer who comes in and does the under the granny throw for the free throw. Right. I think I would take Lux.
Lux?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to explain that one to me, man.
Well, AOE slow. She's got a shield. Okay. She can shield
a teammate. How would the shield help in a basketball game?
It would help from getting the ball stolen, I would think.
You want to go that route?
Wouldn't
it? I don't know.
Maybe just let you deflect penalties.
Plus, I mean, a laser in your face, I mean, that's got to be pretty disruptive.
That's true. She's going to be able to make long shots just like Xerath can.
That seems like a lot of foul play on her part, just like flashing the opponent the entire time.
Yeah, with all the light, I mean, they won't be able to see.
Yeah, so it sounds to me, I think that from the arguments I've heard, that our dream team basketball team consists of Blitz.
Xerath, Orianna.
Lee Sin.
Oh, yeah,
and then, I think that fifth spot is an open gamble between Lux, Teemo, and Brand at this point.
Well, I only picked Brand because he was tall.
Well, but let's face it, Brand is a playmaker. You know, I will point out that the team that we just made, actually not a terrible team to go into an actual Summoner's Rift match with. Not a terrible team.
We need
team.
To test that.
Yeah, we'll test our dream team at some point.
You want
to
write that down so we can try
I think
out?
We might have it recorded.
Sin. We'll just do it later.
Yeah, we'll do it later. We're a little doubled up on the AP carry, but I think we can find a way to make it work. But I wanted to thank everyone for joining us today. Thank you very much for making it out, Christian.
No problem. Glad to be here, even though I don't have much to say about the tournament stuff.
That's all right. You can say plenty about being hit now that you're a mere mortal with the rest of it. Compy, as always, wonderful to have you with us.
Yeah, guys, remember, check out the site, lowelo.com, and follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook.
Yeah, you can follow Twitter as Low Elo Dave. You can follow me on Twitter as EatGamer, and you can email us at either Jeff or Dave at lowelo.com. Make sure you visit the website when you have a chance.
Yeah, and guys, comment so we think that people are listening
to
us.
Yeah, comment. Yeah. And just remember, Summoners,
stay classy.
Thanks for listening.
See ya.
He was a king of the road. She was longing to see if they were bound to hook up. It was in an RV. Screaming out of Jackson with all of her things, throw it to the wind and see what it brings. One philosophy, they were born to be free. Didn't want to be tied down to a crashing economy. Never had a paradise out there of their own. So they decided to make the road their home. We'll be right back. at the wheel and Symphony in the chair. Only 14 more hours till they got somewhere. Once they arrived, if they didn't like the scene, all it takes to move is more gasoline. Getting 20 gallons to the mile.
Dorky Mauser, time to get beat up.